What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael.
Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle, I'm back. Back in the overnights. And I don't know if you could tell, but I gave a half-assed performance in my singing in honor of these two baseball teams. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. I got you from 2 to 5, back to normal after a couple days in the morning show. We got you to the warm-up show coming up at 5. We got Ray on the other side, and we're taking your calls on this ugly Thursday morning at 888-808-1019, another night. I mean, these two teams, we're going to start with the Mets, obviously, because that's probably the worst loss of the year. But both of these teams, and I know it wasn't a lot of momentum. I know it's one night in Atlanta, and it was a great night with the Pete home run and everything surrounding it. And then, you know, they come back and score all those runs, and so you're hoping that's the beginning of something, a spark of something. And even the Yankees, two games against the Twins, it's good. You're hoping maybe the team can build off of it, but as a fan, you didn't feel that much momentum. I mean, they beat a team they always beat, and they beat lousy pitching, and you knew tonight was going to be a test against a good pitcher, and here's what it was. But we start with the Mets. And the debacle that this game was, and the absolute brutal loss, and what happened to the pitching lab. I mean, I went on for months and years, like the last year and a half, we have talked nothing. At least I've had a tough time talking anything else. I know Lindor and the closed meeting and moving him to leadoff, and his MVP season last year was a lot of the story, and Grimace and OMG and the way the offense played in many ways too. And this year they get Juan Soto and everything. But when I talk Mets over the last year and a half, I've said this a lot. It's hard for me not to talk about how great the pitching is. What an incredible job by David Stearns, by this pitching lab, what they've been able to turn this staff into. And I was critical of the start of the year, not going out there and adding some top-level starting pitching. And yet they shut me up for the first half of the season with just excellent starting pitching. They turned Griffin Canning into an ace-level pitcher. They just, at every turn, they had an incredible, just mind-numbing, how do they continue to do this starting pitching out of scrap metal? And now it has fallen apart in an epic collapse. An epic collapse. And over the last couple weeks, oddly enough, I've been defending the pitching as well. Like over the last couple weeks, yes, the pitching, the innings, they've been a problem, sure. But I can't shut my mouth about how bad the offense is and how it's not enough. And the Fab Four at the top of the order, and they're not coming through. And Lindor has been terrible since hurting his toe, and it's just not good enough. And Soto, and we'll get to Soto in this game too. Soto's having big moments. Soto's hitting home runs. Soto's OPS is good. Soto's batting average is okay. You know, not really, but, you know, Soto's numbers are good. He's having a somewhat down Juan Soto year, but, hey, it took some time to get acclimated. Soto's okay, but he's just not impacting the team. But it's this offense. Forget the starting pitching. It's the offense. And over the last couple of days, really the last week, it has rock bottomed out. We're three consecutive nights. I know they won yesterday, but they got a 5-0 lead in a game they desperately needed against Milwaukee, only to see that collapse. Last night, or two nights ago now, They're up 5-1, and Clay Holmes can't get out of the fourth. And then last night, David Peterson, the one last shining example of a starter who can actually maybe possibly in some sort of, you know, crazy world go 5 or 6 innings. He's the one guy you can kind of rely on to do that, is given a 6-0 lead. They got Cookie Carrasco out there, who the Mets broadcast had me laughing all night, quite honestly. Some good, some bad. But they're feeling sorry for Cookie Carrasco. This is hard to watch. He's getting pounded. The Braves are terrible. They've got injuries. The pitching staff is falling apart. They can't take out Cookie Carrasco because they don't want to go through the bullpen. He's throwing batting practice the first 2 innings. They're up 6-0 with David Peterson on the mound, and he can't throw a strike. They lead the world in walks, this pitching staff. And as you're watching the game last night, as Peterson's blowing it in the fourth, they're talking about winning the first 3 pitches of an at-bat. I'm like, are you guys watching what's going on while you're having this conversation? They're having a conversation about first pitch strikes and trying to win the first 3 pitches of an at-bat, and that should change things for them. And Peterson is throwing non-competitive pitches all over the place. 3 1/3, 5 hits, 6 runs, and 5 walks from David Peterson in this game last night. You got the long rain delay. You got the Pete, you know, ceremony, which, look, I did the morning show yesterday with Keith, and we talked about it. I'm not going to poo-poo the thing the way Mad Dog did. If you haven't seen the clips of Christopher Mad Dog Russo, the great Christopher Mad Dog Russo, killing the idea that we celebrated the Pete Alonso thing, I think it's worth celebrating. The next day in a ceremony? I don't know. But whatever. You're waiting for that. The rain delay wipes that out. That's going to be later today now. You start the game. They jump out to a 6-0 lead off a non-competitive Cookie Carrasco. And your starting pitcher can't get out of the fourth inning. This pitching staff, for all, like, and this is why we talk about it. This is why I was critical at the start of the year. This is why you do need legitimately good starting pitchers with talent that are gonna, you're gonna have to pay eventually, because you can't continue this way. What they've done for the last year and a half has been miraculous. It can't be duplicated over and over again. You can't just count on converting Clay Holmes into a starter from being a reliever. You can't count on Griffin Canning forever. You can't count on Manaea resurrecting his career. You can't count on everything you're trying to throw up against the wall. Frankie Montas they run and give $17 million to. He's already in the bullpen. And that's what it's going to turn into, right? That the save, like, I'm listening to people today talk and like, oh, well, listen, well, they've got McLean coming in for Montas, and I'm sure we're going to have to throw Sproat out there at some point now, maybe for Clay Holmes, because he looks at the end of his rope. And mind the fact that he's thrown 70 innings over the last 4 years per year because he's been a reliever. Now he's up over 140. Like, yeah, maybe he's hit the end of his rope. But no, I mean, now you're calling on these kids not to just make up a start here. You're not looking at McLean to come up here after having a really nice AAA season to come up and just find himself. You're asking him to save the season. The Reds beat the Phillies last night. The Yankees and the Mets are in the same position, one game up out of being out of the postseason. McLean can't come in and find himself. He can't come in and just be, you know, a prospect making a name for himself and trying to find his way in Major League Baseball. He's got to come up and save you. If Sproat gets called up, he's got to come in and pitch well. He's got to come in and immediately. Now, is it hard to not be an upgrade over what they've got? Sure. Sure. You're not asking the world of him. Give me 5 innings and 3 runs and we'll sign for it. I get it. But the pressure is on these kids now. This isn't a soft landing spot. For weeks, they've been, you know, well, you know, right before the All-Star break, they could have brought him up. I don't want to, unless you want to bring him up when there's a lane for him. Well, this lane is because the rest of them have fallen off. Yeah, the lane's open because the other cars have driven off a cliff. Not the easiest of lanes to introduce yourself to the Met fan base, who was there last night, who showed up to see that Pete ceremony, who showed up last night, who stayed through the 2-hour rain delay, only to watch that crap. Unbelievable what's happening to this pitching staff. It just, it can't happen. And they, I don't know what happened to it. Why can't they figure out how to throw strikes? Did you see some of the pitches? He wasn't missing by a little. He was way left. He was way in the left-handed batter's box. I mean, he was all over the place, Peterson. And this is the guy you're supposed to rely on. And three consecutive nights. It's hard to get on the offense. Now, look, we'll get to Juan Soto in his moment, which, again, was the end of the game, really. But it's hard to get on the offense. They give you a 6-0 lead. They give you a 5-1 lead. And then they you know, come back and even score more runs to win last night. They're up, you know, you're up 5-0 in that season series finale against Milwaukee. Like, yeah, you'd like to add on. And that has been a calling card of this offense. Some early runs and then doing nothing the rest of the game. I get it. It's not good enough. We've all been complaining about the offense. But at some point, when you go out and make the trades they did to bolster the bullpen, and they blow games as well as Helsley had his fun in Milwaukee too. But when you jump out to a 6-0 lead on a dead team with Cookie Carrasco on the mound, that's got to be enough. Sure, I'd like to tack on more runs. And absolutely, Juan Soto, that's the epitome of Juan Soto's season last night. Last night is the epitome of Juan Soto's season. He hits the home run early in the game to give him the lead. He's getting on base left and right. But in the biggest spot of the game, after they give up the 9-run fourth inning, after the grand slam to Harris that makes it 9-5, the next inning he's up there. He's got two on and two outs and an opportunity to put that game back into the Mets momentum, to give the Mets a jump. It doesn't have to be a 3-run home run necessarily, although that'd be nice for his first one of the season. But you got to come through in that spot. That is the epitome of Juan Soto's year. Probably the, you know, Pete had a good night. And even Nimmo is kind of starting to wake up. But one of the better offensive performances of the game. One of the better offensive performances on the team. Clearly the best offensive player on the team this year when you take into the entire season. But in the biggest of moments, he has failed. And it's hard to get on him. I get it. It's one at bat. But watch that at bat. He swings at a slider 6 inches up out of the zone. I watched every single Juan Soto at bat last year as a Yankee fan. We've watched him grow up playing for the Nationals in the same division as the Mets. We saw him in the World Series in 2019. All right, yeah, maybe for a year and a half we lost him out in San Diego. But we have seen plenty of Juan Soto and his greatness. And what his greatness is knowing the strike zone as well as Barry Bonds, as well as Tony Gwynn, as well as, you know, the Ted Williams. Like, that's his strength. And to watch him over and over again, and last night in that spot, swinging a pitch well up out of the strike zone. That is the epitome of his season. Ozuna hits the home run in the next inning to make it a 5-run game, and that was it. That was the game. That moment, that's the game. And Juan Soto's been fine, and Juan Soto's a great player. And for the next 15 years, it's going to be a love affair with this guy because he's a great player. And there's a very good chance, you know, barring injury, knock on wood, there's a very good chance he's going to go into the Hall of Fame as a New York Met. All of that is true. All of it is true. But the absolute truth about it is he's having a fine little season. It's not quite as good as you had hoped, but it's a fine little Juan Soto season. It's as good, you know, it's the floor of a great player, or close to the floor of a great player. Might be the worst season he has in a Met uniform for all we know. But in the biggest moments, when the game is on the line, when he needs to be the guy who gets paid $765 million, not only does he not come through, but he doesn't look like Juan Soto. It's one thing to hit a fly ball that he just missed, or it's one thing, you know, to take a pitch just off the edge that's called a strike because he doesn't swing at balls. Like, that's Juan Soto. The frustrating at-bats come from Juan Soto when he won't leave the strike zone. Remember all that time, you know, Sal yelling about it last year with the Yankees, looking for a walk, looking for a walk. That's the frustrating part of Juan Soto for years. We heard it the same with Barry Bonds. We heard it the same. I wasn't around for it, but I heard about it and I read books about it. Same thing with Ted Williams. Wouldn't leave the strike zone even though there was nobody behind him and you needed him to come through, but he wouldn't leave the strike zone because that's who he is. That's been the frustrating part of Juan Soto. getting called out on strikes just off the corner because umpires suck, and he knows the strike zone better than them, but he won't swing outside the strike zone. And instead, this year, I have seen him leave the strike zone more than I ever saw him leave the strike zone last year with the New York Yankees. He's got to come through in that spot. So you take the Juan Soto at bat into account, the offense, you know, over the last few weeks and not being able to tack on in this game, although it's disheartening when you blow a 6-0 lead and it's hard to get on the offense when it's 5-0, 5-1, 6-0. And you still lose these games. And the Mets, I don't know what the answer is. I guess the answer is call everybody up. Call up these prospects you've been building up and working up. Great. You're thrusting them right into the fire. You didn't want to call him up before the All-Star break because you needed a lane. Well, now the lane is burning, and you need someone to put it out. And that is not easy for a young kid. And you look at Sproat's numbers. Yeah, he's been hot in July, no doubt, and he's the top prospect. He's got this. He's got a worse, last time I checked, he's got a worse ERA than Clay Holmes in AAA. And that's fine. It's part of the building process, and I expect him to be okay. But we're not asking him to come up here and be okay. You're asking him to come up here and save a season that's going down the tubes. That is a brutal loss to a team that, to a team that has been your nemesis, to a team that always finds a way to beat you, and now they're down as they've ever been. Like, as they've ever been. Since they started winning divisions, since they became the Braves in the early 90s, like, this is as bad as they've almost ever had. I know there were some lean years there in the middle, but, like, this really feels like the bottom-out year because the team should have been better. They start out 0-7. They're dragging down the stretch. They've lost some key players. They're throwing out Cookie Carrasco. You got them up 6-0. You're coming off of Pete's, you know, record-breaking performance the night before. You jump out to that early lead, and Peterson can't go for. Like, it is. It's hard to fathom where this pitching staff has fallen to. And now you got Kodai Sanga tonight, and what's the faith that he goes 5? Thankfully, Blackburn, back off the IL, was able to give you some innings and save the bullpen. Like, this is. Now, look, you know me, and we'll get to it when we get to the Yankees. Season's not over. Stranger things can happen. They're still up in the playoffs. They're a game up inside the postseason. But, like, the thing that scares me about the New York Mets right now is this rotation is falling apart. Now, if the kids come up and pitch well, great. Great. And I still have faith in the top of the order. I still have faith in Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Lindor. I mean, and now it sounds like, it feels like Nimmo's getting a little bit hot. I mean, theoretically, should be a good offense. But tonight is a big night to see how this Met team responds. We talk so much about manager and managerial decisions, and we'll get to them with the Yankees in this game last night. You want to know how the manager's doing? How does this ball club respond tonight? Kodai Senga on the mound against Elder, who's having a miserable season for Atlanta, along with everybody else on the team, except when they see the Mets. And listening to the broadcast talk about trying to win the first 3 pitches as he's just imploding was just, I mean, that's a brutal performance from David Peterson. It was a brutal performance from Clay Holmes the day before. And right now you just feel like you are sinking with a starting rotation who can't get through the 4th, let alone into the 6th and 7th. That's a brutal loss, my fans. That's just a brutal, brutal loss. You can't lose that game. You cannot lose that game. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get to your calls. We'll start with the Met fans. We will get to the Yankees. Don't worry about it. That was a disappointing loss. That was an opportunity to prove that you can get to a good pitcher. Can't do it. Couple of managerial moves, one key injury to this team now moving forward. They got a pitching performance you could feel pretty good about, actually. But besides that, momentum lost. Winning 2 out of 3 against Minnesota means virtually nothing to me. This was the game that if you could have gotten and you sweep them and you beat Joe Ryan, you feel like maybe some momentum was built. And they failed. So we'll get to the Yankees as well, but a brutal, just gut punch loss for the New York Mets. Another miserable starting performance. Another performance where they can't get out of the fourth. And they're turning to the young kids this weekend, starting this Saturday with McLean on the mound, hoping to save their season. Because it feels like that right now. It feels like, despite what they want to say, and I understand why they want to say it, feels like it's slipping away. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, back in the overnights. I got you for, you know, a little less than three hours now as we take you to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Quick break, back after this, right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right. Yeah, come get smarter with me. Let's figure out this Met and Yankee team. Because they are just, we'll get to the Yankees, disappointing loss. Very disappointing loss. We'll get into the managerial decision with his bullpen in the sixth inning. But Cam Schlittler at least did look good. I thought that was his best performance as a Yankee. I thought his secondary stuff, his breaking ball, his curveball in particular, was by far the best we've seen. And they're desperate as well. It doesn't feel the same right now with the Mets and Yankees, but they're desperate as well for the pit. They're both desperate overall. Same level of desperate. But the pitching staff, even though Max Fried hasn't been good, Carlos Rodon did pitch well the other day, they have some guys who you feel at least confident in some level. The Mets are really kind of lacking having any confidence in anyone. And if Cam Schlittler can continue on his path that he's doing right now, throwing 99-mile-an-hour fastballs with, you know, big breaking balls out of the zone, you feel good about that. But ultimately, another chance for the Yankees to prove they can hit good pitching, which has been the narrative around this team for a while, failed. An opportunity to sweep the Minnesota Twins, build momentum, and actually feel good about it, more than just taking two from a lousy team, failed. And now they'll have more opportunities. The season's not over. They're both still in a playoff hunt. The one thing I'll say about it, we'll get into the Yankee thing, but there's a narrative going around from everybody last night that I just don't understand. We'll get to it. 888-808-1019, but we'll start with your Met calls. Let's go to Chris in Farmingdale. What's up, Chris?
Yo, C-Mac, what's going on, man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Well, so I bought a 12-pack today to watch the game to finish my summer finished my summer course up. You know, I had the semester ended yesterday, so I'm like, okay, I can relax. I can relax. Yep. Get a 12-pack and relax and watch the Mets. So I'm like, all right, 6-0. I'm like, oh, you know, give me a couple more runs. I'll put my feet up and enjoy the beer. And all of a sudden, it just went tumbling down in the fourth inning, and they gave up 9 runs. And I it's amazing. I didn't scream this time because I'm so numb from it from the last freaking 3 weeks. Of these games that we're losing, that I just sat there and said, "What am I going to do anymore?" You know, I'm not so much as a negative fan as you know, like I'm just a realist. But I was saying lately, now you know what, they'll make the playoffs, but as a wild card team, like the Reds, they're not going to get behind the Reds. But now after this game, I said, you know what, this is what bad teams do. They're a bad team, and as bad as they're playing, you don't have to be. As you know, the Reds don't have to put it this way. The Reds don't have to be as good, okay? Because the Mets are that bad. So I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think this team is. I don't know what it is with this team. I don't know if it's the uniform. I don't know. I can't blame the owner anymore because it's not the owner's fault. I can't blame the manager because it's not his fault. It doesn't matter what he does. The team loses.
Yeah.
I can't blame the GM because the owner is pretty much the GM. I could blame the GM when it comes to the pitching, and I think a lot of it has to do with Cohen opening his mouth, or all I ever heard was before 2025, they're waiting for, you know, the books to open so they can go after all these pitchers 2025. Yeah, they never did that. So I don't really know who to blame. I just think it just look, I'm not big on the conspiracy of curses, but there's some curse on this team because something's not right. They put on that uniform and they just stink. I don't know what it is. You can't figure it out.
No, I think stink is a bit like, you know, Juan Soto hasn't stunk. That's part, like, you know, he hasn't stunk. He's just not quite been the guy you were hoping for, and he hasn't come through in those moments. So, like, I don't think he's put on the uniform and stunk. He's just not – he's not been the clutch guy that he's been his whole career. Just that – I mean, just plain and simple. And I don't know if the – you know, the pressure of the World Series is a – I don't know if it's bigger or lesser or tougher or whatever. It's different than being the man making $765 million. That's the only explanation, that the pressure of being the man making that kind of money, right? There's also some speculation that he didn't have the same kind of offseason because he was getting wined and dined and he had his free agency and he wanted to enjoy it. And God bless him. I get that. You worked your ass off his whole life to get to that moment, to be wined and dined and be told how great you are and to go out there and negotiate a $700 million contract. He put in a lot of work and a lot of effort and struggled his whole life. I know he's playing baseball. I get it. We'd all love to be in his position, playing a game for a living. But he busted his ass. He was entitled to that offseason. And I don't, you know, some speculation, obviously, you know, when he signed the contract, there were some pictures that weren't all that flattering that he put on some weight. I don't know. I haven't seen that. And we all know he's a hard worker and that he's working his ass off to get his swing together. And he's not having a miserable season. He's just not coming through in the clutch. And as far as the entire team of who to blame, I think it goes around. And I can understand why a Met fan would feel cursed. This was supposed to be the year. You get Juan Soto, you're coming off of last year's epic run, and you're figuring you're going to go out and be fantastic this year. And it just hasn't been there. It just hasn't been there. It was there to start the season, and now it's falling apart, and I get it. And listen, what I can tell you is, like, to me, if I'm looking for someone to blame, I think it's David Stern. I think it's David Stearns. He has this vision of how to build a pitching staff. And it was amazing last year, and it was incredible to start the season, and now it's completely fallen on its face, and some of it's fair and some of it's not, right? Some of it's on him, and some of it's just, you know, Kodai Senga was cruising, got hurt, hasn't been the same since coming back. Manaea, injury to start the year, hasn't given the same depth that you were expecting or that you got last year. The first couple of innings have been just as good. Like, he's still throwing that crossfire arm angle, and he's still getting swings and misses, and he's still pitching relatively well to start the game. And then it just seems like it falls off the table for him. Peterson's been really great this year for the most part. Had a miserable start last night when they desperately needed him to go out there and just be serviceable with a 6-0 lead. Like, I don't know who it is to blame. The offense should be better. Pete Alonso makes big money. Everyone wanted him back. First 2 months, great. Not since. Juan Soto, we just discussed. Lindor was the MVP of this team. He signed a $300 million contract. He's been brutal this season. Nimmo makes good money. He's had waves of being hot and waves of looking like he doesn't belong in Major League Baseball. Vientos, how could you not be banking on Vientos to at least be a part of this team? Like, where has he been? Alvarez was the top prospect in the sport. I can go on and on and on. I don't know exactly why this team is floundering like this, other than to say the pitching staff that was carrying the group for the last year and a half has completely barreled out. It's bottomed out. And they're in desperate need of McLean to show up on Saturday and give this team some life. And we'll see if Sproat's to follow, and we'll see if Tong is to follow after that. Like, it's... there are that many holes in the starting rotation where you could envision all three. That sounded crazy 2 weeks ago. It's at the point where you could envision all three of those guys who've had good careers, who have been big-time prospects, and Tong, who's like the best pitcher in minor league baseball this year. Like, we're at the precipice where all three could be on the roster. And that would have sounded absolutely bonkers a month ago. But this can't continue. It just, a team can't function this way. That's the bottom. Forget winning. Forget the playoffs. Playoffs? That was actually a pretty good impression. Forget all that. A team can't function with a starting pitching at this level. It just can't. And I don't know if you can expect Senga to be this bad. In fact, I don't. Hopefully tonight's the night he turns it around. I don't know if you could expect Manaea not get through four consistently. And hopefully, we'll see much better from him moving forward. And Peterson has been better. Last night was a rough one for him. All of those need to be answered quick because you you can't function losing games. You're up 5-0, 5-1, and 6-0, although they won the 5-1 game. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Good to have you home. And over.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm back. Enough of this high society eating caviar for breakfast. I'm back.
Beluga caviar. They gave you the top shelf stuff, huh?
Yeah, that's what they feed me.
Just let me make a couple points. I'm with that guy. I'm just numb at this point. Before my Met point, listen, I love Mad Dog. I really do. Mad Dog's the all-time favorite guy. He couldn't be more wrong. Listen, this is a guy, a homegrown guy.
I thought it was a bit strong.
I understand he has to do this thing where he's mad about something. I love him. I laugh 80% of the time.
But it is a segment
listen,
on the show.
This is a homegrown guy who bleeds blue and orange, who goes out there every single game, leaves his guts on the field with broken bones in his hands. And they didn't stop the game. They didn't sound like we had a ceremony. He was like he was Joe DiMaggio. We had a little thing. So, Mad Dog, you're off base.
Secondly, before we get into it, let me just say two things. You mentioned not having a ceremony. That is true. They didn't really stop the game very long. He came out curtain call. It was handled perfectly well. To get on the call, I liked the call. I know that's a personal taste thing. But to make it seem like
was a little corny. But
yeah, if you don't like it, you don't like it. That's fine. If you don't like the personal iceberg, that's your own personal taste. But the excitement level of the call, having a prepared call, you know, treating it like a significant moment is absolutely fair. Totally agree with all that. What I will say is, the one thing I'll have to say is, for the most part, and I don't want to, like, I would think most Met fans knew that he was a pro. Like, if I asked someone at the start of the year, is Pete Alonso close to the home run record? I think most people go, yeah, you know, and it's Darryl Strawberry, right? But I don't think anyone would know the number. Like, I don't think anyone knew 253, to be totally honest with you, at the start of the year, that's what it was. And the other thing is, I really don't know if a ceremony is needed now later today, but to poo-poo the whole thing and to make it seem like it should have meant absolutely nothing to no one, I agree with you. That's absolutely bonkers. That was a great moment last night and well-deserved to be celebrated.
But you understand where it's coming from. I mean, it's a show where he's got to do that, and he's on, he's playing a part. I get that. I still love him. The other thing is, two more points. Soto's definitely pressing. You can't tell me this guy's not pressing. He's swinging in pitches. And the third thing is, it's not even so much that these guys like Holmes and Peterson are getting smacked around. They're walking the ballpark. They're walking Nick Allen and Nacho Alvarez. I mean, that's what's maddening about it. And if you sit there, like Chris, the guy I called before, I'm just numb at this point. You can't even get angry. I mean, there's nothing to get angry about. And the last thing is, for everybody that's killing online, you talk about, they're killing Mendoza. Like, they want Mendoza fired tomorrow. Yeah. And these guys couldn't be more wrong. What do you want to, like, last night, they killed, why didn't you bring in Soto? He had four guys unavailable. You got to get a pitcher that can go through five innings. We got guys who can't go four innings now.
Yeah, I did have a problem with him not bringing Soto to face Olsen in the game.
He only had four guys available.
I understand that, but Holmes isn't going much. Holmes isn't going further in that game anyway. Like it's not like you're gonna get Holmes out of that jam and then bring him out for the fifth. Like that was it. Like I don't disagree with your overall point though. Like and thank you for the call, man. And I don't disagree. This is the same manager we were all praising who took them from 11 games under 500 last year to the NLCS, right? And every Met fan was throwing it in every Yankee fan's face that you have that idiot Boone and we took your bench coach and he's the far better manager. That was just last year. Now, did I have a problem with him not pitching Soto against Olsen when he's 1-for-11 against Soto? And I don't think it's not like I understand what you're saying about pitchers down, but you're not. If Clay Holmes gets through that inning, he's done. You're not bringing him back out. Like, you're taking him out after that batter anyway. So, like, that I have a problem with. Don't disagree. And I don't want to sound like the Yankee homer in this particular circumstance. Sometimes I'll lean into it, baby. Sometimes I'll lean into the Yankee shill. I'm not trying to be a Yankee shill with this moment, with what I'm about to say. I've had a lot of problems with a lot of things Boone has done. I just don't think he's an imbecile. And I don't think he's cost them 20 games or some ridiculous number that people will tell you. I've had a lot of issues with him. I don't know if I've ever watched a Yankee game with Aaron Boone managing and have felt like there was as glaring and obvious thing as not pinch running for Marte in that game against Milwaukee. Like, I have to admit, I think Mendoza is a good manager. I wouldn't want him fired. I still think he can be the manager that takes this team where they want to go. I think he's getting too much flack from the Met fans. I think he's done a really good job. Last year was a spectacular job. This year it's been tough, but again, you're right. I mean, his starting pitchers aren't going, and it's not like he's pulling them out. It's not like there's even questionable decisions when to take these guys out. They're terrible. So I think he gets too much flack, but I had a real problem with the Olsen one, and then not pinch running Taylor for Marte, and then just saying Marte can still run well when, like, they're just, and I know we don't go nuts about the analytics and we want to play with our guts, but when one runner is in the 23rd percentile in sprint speed in Major League Baseball and the other's in the 90s, you need that run to score to continue the game. How in the world do you not pinch run for him? Like that, of all the mistakes Boone has ever made, and he's made plenty, and I can hear the people going for their phones right now. Of all the mistakes Boone has ever made, I don't know if I ever remember one that was as obvious as, oh my God, you have to pinch run a faster runner. Like, that could be one of the most glaring mistakes I've ever seen a manager make. So, having said, like, but that managers do, you know, who, you know, and we don't know everything. We don't know everything. Maybe, you know, Taylor had an ingrown toenail. I have no idea. But that, I don't think so. So, like, that one boggles my mind. I have to admit, that one was hard to take. And I disagreed completely with not pitching Soto to Olsen. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. I don't care how many pitches he had down. It's not like, it wasn't the second inning where if he gets through that and gets that out, then you can bring him out for the third. He had already thrown 80-something pitches, and he was awful. You're not going back to Clay Holmes in that spot anyway. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Chris. Chris, you know, I've been following the Mets a long time. I don't know what they saw in that guy giving him $34 million for 2 years. I mean, you got to think things out.
Yeah,
Montas. That, yeah. For me, I knew that was going to blow up. When, nobody knew when. But there's nothing happening there. You got to get, you know... You want to pay? Stevie Cohen has the money. Get yourself a couple of legitimate starters.
They don't believe
you in can't
God.
Let.
That's the problem. Yeah. It's not that they don't have the money. It's not that they don't believe in it. That's they're out right now, and thank you for the call. I'm up against the break. They're out there scouting Murakami out in Japan. You know, Kyle Tucker is hitting free agency. They believe in putting the money in the everyday player because pitchers get hurt. And it's one of these things that makes sense in theory. Like, I agree with the theory. I don't know how you can't. We watch. Like, I was screaming to go get Corbin Burns. He blew his elbow out. Arizona's going to be stuck with a big-time contract over the next couple of years of a pitcher who's not going to pitch. Like, we see it left and right. Gerrit Cole is reliable starting pitcher to stay healthy as there's been in Major League Baseball. Missed half of last year and just had Tommy John surgery. So, like, I get it. I get it, right? Max Fried, right? Saved the beginning part of the season, already starting to fade. 8 years of a deal for Max Fried, making big-time money. Scary proposition that the New York Yankees face. I get not wanting to do it. It makes sense in theory. But in practice, like, sometimes you got to take the chance and hope you're right. And get the right guy. And even if he's healthy for the first 2 or 3 years of a 6-year deal, you got to win in that window. And it sucks. And it's not the way a Milwaukee team is built for the most part. Right? You can do that with Milwaukee. And if you have a nice little season, everyone pats you on the back. Right now, Milwaukee's going to get knocked out in the NLDS or the NLCS. And everyone's going to rave about what a wonderful season they had. And they were the best team in baseball for 2 months. And they just beat up on Paul Skeens. And, you know, they've done it with less. And what a remarkable job those Milwaukee Brewers are. What a well-run franchise and what a great team. And then they'll lose and no one will care and we'll pat them on the back. There is no patting on the back for the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. And I'm not trying to compare their regular seasons because Milwaukee has done great. But the Mets can have a Milwaukee season losing the NLDS, and it's, I think if they don't win next year, we got to fire everybody. The Yankees were in the World Series last year. That's where we are now. The Yankees were in the World Series last year. Everybody's got to go this year. That's the difference. And you got to take your chances. So, like, I get it. I get it. But you can't go into a season with a five-man rotation and you don't have one premier guy at the top. And as much as Senga could be that, and as much as Manaea could be that, they're not. They're just not right now. So I don't disagree, and I was critical at the start of the year, and then he shut me up for 2 months as they were the best pitching staff in baseball, and now they lead the world in walks. They can't throw strikes. I got Gelbs giving out a plan to win the first three pitches of an at-bat. Like, I couldn't believe that segment. As he's fade, like, what a time to pick to start talking about that. They figured, hey, we're up 6-0. They got the one pitcher who can go deep into the game. Let's bring this thing out right now. Let's go right into this win the first three pitches of an at-bat talk. It'll sound real good as he's mowing down a dead Braves team up 6-0. And instead, he's imploding and can't throw a strike. Like, sometimes you just can't make it up. 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Dire Straits to get us started. Now a little bit of a vibe here. I like it. All right, McMonagle back with you on the overnights after a couple days in high society out in the morning show.
One of these nights.
Oh, man, the voice isn't there either. The shift change. I could tell you I didn't sing that much in the open because of the two losses. It's because I don't know if I have the voice. The shift change, the sleep change. I had the kids this afternoon again as my wife's working summer school this year. So, like, woof. I'm all over the place. 888-808-1019. And our baseball teams are all over the place. We'll get to the Yankees next hour. I promise. You know me. We'll talk Yankees. And there is a positive to take from the game. At least there is that in Cam Schlittler. But it's just not good enough, man. It's just, it's okay. Bare minimum. They had to win 2 of 3. They did. It's hard to absolutely kill them and go crazy about it. And we'll talk about going to De Los Santos in the 6th. But, like, they won 2 of 3. Okay. They had to, bare minimum. That's all that it was. It was, I told you this in the morning show. I didn't overreact to any of those wins. If you think I'm the pie in the sky Yankee fan who's going to overreact to every single win, I'm not. Those two wins didn't mean much to me. Totally honest with you, it didn't mean much. They had to have them, had to. So if you would have lost them, they would have been disasters. So wins are positive. I'm not trying to take away the idea that winning a series with what the way they've been playing isn't good. Good to win a series. But an opportunity to show up against a good starting pitcher, didn't do it. One run. We can complain about everything else. They scored one run. Scored one run. You're not going to win. They could have went to every reliever you wanted them to go to. Not going to win, you score one run. And the idea that Doval, like, we'll get into that. But the idea, you got to go to you had your prime relievers lined up. Yeah, they had the prime relievers lined up on Saturday as well against the Houston Astros, and Doval blew a 2-run lead. Doval blew the game the first appearance. De Los Santos has been pitching better than Doval the last few weeks. Like, since the trade deadline, who's been better, De Los Santos or Doval? Like, the idea that you had to set it up so Doval pitches, like, he gets out of it without question. You know the Twins don't score against him. Like, De Los Santos was pitching to a 1.57 ERA. It's not like a disastrous, terrible move. It's just frustrating. We'll get to that, though. Let's get to Al in Queens. What's up, Al?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? I love your show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to know about David Stearns. I trust the guy. You know, he earned the benefit of the doubt.
I don't disagree with you. He has earned the benefit of the doubt. The season's not over.
Yeah,
and
I got
last year was really good. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, at the beginning of last year, I was like, what is he doing? What is going on? But then they took off in June, and I was like, yeah, man, this is a dream, and we're going to have this for the foreseeable future. But they need to get a legit starter. They need to get an ace at least next year. I understand what you said before, that they believe that these pitchers get hurt. But what we have now is not working. At the moment, it's not working. So I'm thinking, like, get somebody like Valdez. You know, I think he's a free agent next year. You know, just one pitcher, just one starter that, you know, like, we need to get somebody that kills losing streaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I don't know who's out there as far as free agents. I mean, I think there's, Chris Sale has a club option that I'm sure Atlanta's going to pick up on. Vrember Valdez is going to be a free agent.
Just get one.
Zach Gallen's going to be a free agent. Dylan Cease is going to be a free agent. I mean, I don't know if those pique your fancy as, like, shutdown aces. They give you innings. Dylan Cease will give you innings, that's for sure. But Michael King will be out there. That's probably going to be another name, although he's dealt with injuries this year. Merrill Kelly, who just got traded to Texas, is going to be a free agent. Like, it's really not a great list of names. There's Valdez, who's been really good as a left-handed pitcher out in Houston. Like, that's it. That's really it. As far as, like, guys you really feel really good at. Zach Gallen has been an ace in his career, not this year. Dylan Cease has the stuff of an ace, but has not really put it together to be an ace-level pitcher. And Michael King has the promise of being an ace, but again, just really not a big-time list. Last year was the year. Real quick, before the top of the hour, let's go to John in Westchester. What's up, John?
Hey, C-Mac. Big fan. I commend you for bouncing all around the time slots. That's got to be so hard on your personal life.
A little bit. But, hey, listen, I get to talk sports. I'm not breaking rocks. So it affects the sleep a little bit. What do you got? Real quick.
Yeah.
I probably took it too late. So let's
Service time deadline. Like, why aren't they bringing them up? Like, until now? Like, we've been struggling for 3 weeks hard, if not 2 months.
Yep.
They wait.
And I'm sorry, I was really short with you. I have to be. I don't disagree. I think it was more about the idea. They really do believe in this idea of not just calling him up for one spot start. They wanted to wait until he had lanes. But the problem is, you probably weren't expecting this. But now, I mean, they're going to be looked at as the saviors. Like, they have to come up here and really, be the, like, you're expecting them to be the best pitchers on the staff. Like, I think that's the expectation of the fans. It's like, oh, you got to call these guys up. Please, let's go. We need some. You expect them to come up and be better than everybody else they're throwing out. That's a tough spot. That's a tough spot to put McLean in on Saturday. You're expecting now McLean on Saturday to come up and give you the best pitching performance they've had in 2 weeks. Like that. Yeah, okay, he's got a lane. He's got a place moving forward. He's going to make the next start and the next start and the next start as long as he's capable. That's great. And you'd love to have that as the option. But you're also making it like, please, you got to give us 5 or 6 innings. Otherwise, we're screwed. It's a tough spot to put young kids in. If you would have called him up earlier, you might have felt better about it. I don't disagree with you. 888-808-1019. Update. We'll come back, get into the Yankees as well as still take your Met calls. McMonagle here with you for another 2 hours right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.